The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 333. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I am joined by Emilio Lopez.
Hello, people. How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Adam Vale.
Oh, Sucker Free Sunday.
Brett Murdoch.
What up?
And Brian Monjoma.
What up, what up, what up?
You already know, back with another one, no Chris action. What do you say, Mother's Day or something? Like,
yeah,
because technically his wife is now a mother, you know, so so you got to do that.
Happy Mama's Day.
Do a mama thing.
So all that. Vamp for 30 seconds. I need to fix something here.
I felt bad.
Go ahead. What
are
you
saying? Because I didn't get anything from my wife for Mother's Day. This is the first year I didn't.
Why didn't you do that?
I don't know. I just didn't really, because she doesn't really care much about the day itself, like Christmas and birthdays, but Mother's Day, she never made a big thing about it. And the kids all made something in their daycare and school and stuff. And this morning, my daughter comes running and says, come on, we got to go get up. And where's your present for mom? I'm like, I don't have a present. She was like, just a week. She's like, Why would you do that?
Bro.
I was like, I'll make her breakfast. So I go downstairs. I was like, I'll make you breakfast. She's like, I'm not hungry. Like, oh, shit. Now I feel bad. And, you know, they gave her the presents and my daughter, this whole letter and stuff. It's I was like, oh, I feel bad now. Like,
man, I even got her a present.
Damn, hey, well, yay!
I was like, oh man, so
it's, you know, I think it's a bigger thing when you're a lot younger and stuff like that. When you know, I don't remember my mom really being like, oh, Mother's Day. You know, I don't remember her doing any of that sort of stuff. So
yeah,
but, I mean, I would just do things in general just because, you know, take her out for dinner or do whatever,
Like, Father's Day, I don't ask for anything. Like, oh, it's Father's Day, you got to give me that. I don't care.
Like, right.
You know, and
leave me alone for the day. How about that, you know?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, we got Chinese food, you know. We did a Chinese food night, so that was a big to-do for us.
Oh, right, yeah.
You know, but I kept thinking about it. I was like, damn, did I fuck up? Did I screw it? Is it too late? Should I do this?
Am I a bad husband?
Yo, I mean, there was one year she was like, yeah, no gifts for us for Christmas. She said, for us, we'll just get it for the kids. I'm like, okay. And then after we opened all the presents for the kids, she's like, oh, and she got me something. What is it? It was a pop. Did you say don't give? She's like, yeah, but then I saw this. It was a good price. I'm like, you see, that's not right.
You know.
So then after that, I got her gifts. I got a She-Ra doll. Remember She-Ra?
Yeah,
but this past Christmas, because she told me power, she told me this is fun story of when she was a kid, she went to Walmart with her mom and she wanted a She-Ra doll, and mom's like, I'm not getting you two. Caught a hissy fit, the whole thing. She never got that doll, always wanted. Well, this past Christmas I found that doll on eBay and I got it for her. I got her a bunch of other stuff, but then I was like, oh, you got something. And she started cracking up. There you go, now you got the She-Ra doll.
Nice. All right, man. Let's get into some of these questions, man. All right. First up, we got Black Metal Gamer. Once again, this one is pretty straightforward for those who have played it. What are your thoughts on Resident Evil Village? I was kind of hoping Chris was going to be here for this one, too, because I know he's been playing it.
It's a Resident Evil.
Yeah. So my question before we even started is, has anybody else played this game besides me?
I haven't played it, but I know about the whole game.
Yeah, I haven't played it.
Manny's our Jagon, you know?
I'm the Jagon. Well, here's the thing. I have an interest in the stories and stuff like that, but I just don't care to actually play the game. So I literally just watched all the cinematics and shit in the game. So I know what happened. I have an interest. I just don't have enough of an interest to actually play it. First person mode.
Yeah. So I guess I'll give you my thoughts. But it's not even first impression. I'm like, I'm literally like an hour away from beating this game. The only reason I didn't beat it tonight is because like I didn't want to rush it before the podcast. You know what I'm saying? But I'm up to the final-ish boss. I think there's two bosses, but I'm up to the final kind of-ish one. Game is fucking dope. Currently, I know this is not going to be saying a lot because this year has been dry as shit. Currently, my game of the year, game's fantastic. I like it more than 7 just because of the fact that it has more action, you know? And it has a very kind of Metroidvania type of thing. You know, you revisit past levels and stuff, and like but the two remakes did this too, where when you're looking at your map and stuff, if the part you're in is red, you're missing something there, you know? So I'm always scrounging around and stuff. And thankfully, since I don't have to review the game, I've been taking my sweet time. So I've been enjoying the great boss battles, great set pieces and stuff. I like it. And it's a direct sequel to 7, so you need to know the events because there's some specific things that happen. You're like, wait, what? How? What? Like,
it doesn't do like a previous.
It does. It does. It does.
Resident Evil.
Yeah.
It does, right?
It does. They do that. They have a movie. I didn't watch it, though, but I probably should have because there was one specific instance. I'm like, wait, what? How? But I can't spoil it, obviously, but I'm like, wait, what?
What? So I have a question
for you. Yeah, what's up? So, yeah, go ahead, man.
So you said that you like it more than 7 currently because it's more of a 7, like from what I understand, 7's more of a survival horror game than this one is.
Yeah, this one's more action. Like I haven't had to worry about ammo conservation. I have it in mind, don't get me wrong, but if this motherfucker's in front of me, I'm taking him out, you know? So that's pretty much. I haven't had to like in 7, you had to run a lot, you know, and it was very sparse ammo. In this one, you could craft your own ammo, you know. So ammo is not something I worry about too much. So that's why I'm like, all right, bring it, let's go, you know.
Especially with all the enemies they throw at you.
Yeah, they throw a lot of enemies at you. That's why I like it because 7, it was so like nerve wracking that I could only really play like an hour at a time. It was just too much, you know. This one, I just. Play like I think the first day I played like 4 hours straight for one run. I'm like, let's just keep going. This is crazy. So it's definitely, if you like Resident Evil 4, this is going to be your game. This is very much Resident Evil 4 2, you know, in that sense. It's still scary. Don't get me wrong, it's still scary, but it's not as scary as 7. 7 is like every minute of that thing was fucking terrifying, you know.
Yeah, I think because we talked about this previously, I've played every mainline Resident Evil game, but for some reason I wasn't anticipating this one. I haven't even bought it yet, so I was trying to think like what was the reason. I think because the whole thing with the ammo with 7,
yeah,
I felt like I had to run a lot to, you know, run around enemies and stuff. So instead of becoming a sort of like a survival horror game, it just became like a, you know, like a playing a Tecmo football. It's like, shit, I'm going to run around, not get tackled and stuff. So that, I don't know, maybe that was the reason. But I like a game that has sufficient ammo. Maybe it's not too much, but,
yeah,
you know, sufficient enough to, you know, actually shoot people and actually maybe not think too much about shooting, but I also do understand that aspect adds to the whole survival horror aspect of the game. So
yeah, like obviously you don't want to just waste your shots, you know. You want to be very careful with them, but you don't have to worry about that because that was a problem with 7 too. It's like I can't just go ham. I have to really be conservationist about it. I'm like, listen, I just let me kill these motherfuckers, you know.
Yeah, there's even like stupid enemies that you face, and it's like, I'm going to try to figure out a way to kill this without using a gun.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to waste the ammo on this person.
Yeah, no, so you don't have to worry about that.
It takes longer to get through it. Yeah.
Although there are instances, and I'm pretty sure you've done this in Resident Evil games where, like, the heavy, heavy shit, you're like, let me save that for a boss. And then you're thankful as fuck when you have those heavy weapons, you know? Especially when one guy. Go ahead.
I'm like, I'm saving this for Mr. X, man. All right.
Yeah.
I might not even kill you. I'm just gonna run around you, save this, you know, shotgun shells for Mr. X, and call it a day.
That's it. Again, I can't say too much because of spoilers, but yeah, I've played 8 hours basically, you know. Great fucking game, man.
How long is the game?
It's about nine hours. You know, like that's a general thing I'm seeing online. It's about 9 hours. You know, which is perfect. You know, and also there's Resident Evil, so it encourages New Game Plus and all that shit. You know, and I definitely want to go back in there with my beast weapons now. You know, because you like Resident Evil 4, you can upgrade your weapons and stuff. And when you come back, they're it's the same weapons, and you can upgrade them even more. A lot of Easter eggs. The only complaint I have right now, and I let this one slide in the demo because I'm like, okay, maybe it was just the PS4 version. There are some janky fucking textures in some places, and I'm playing a PS5 version. There's this one specific spot. Is this not a spoiler? Where it's snow and there's like green ooze on top of it, and the textures look disgusting. Not in a good way either. I'm like, what the fuck is this low res shit? And even the low res part, I remember from the demo. I went, you know, when I was going through them, I looked for him. Oh, there's the same low res textures. Not a lot, but it's as bad as it was in Final Fantasy VII Remake. Like that had some questionable textures too, you know. So this does that, which is a little bit annoying. But other than that, that's literally my only complaint. The other complaint is like this game's too good. That's like literally the other complaint.
Too good.
You know, it's too good. It's too good. Game's great. Yes. Wear headphones because the 3D audio will save your ass. Also, it'll scare it. Yeah, man. Nice. It'll also scare the fuck out of you, though. You know. I do find it funny though. The one thing that scared me the most was not even an enemy. like that's what scared me. Kill it, you know. But I'm not gonna say what. It's like you motherfucking scared the shit out of me, you know. But yeah, it's a great game. Great game. So far my game of the year. But again, it's not saying much because this year has been ass. So yeah, it's good stuff, man. Resident Evil.
I have a question.
Yes.
So how you talked about those janky looking textures as being one of your negatives? How do you feel overall as a PS5 game? Because you know we're Returnal. We discussed because you guys the people who played it.
Yeah.
All said that it looks like a sort of like a double or maybe even an indie game with a coating of AAA on it.
Yeah, so it's an indie game with a AAA production value. That's what Returnal is.
So how does Resident Evil Village feel like?
It feels like a AAA PS4 game.
A AAA PS4? Oh, interesting.
Yeah, you could tell. They do some haptic feedback shit with the triggers and stuff. Like each gun kind of feels different. Not wildly different, but like sometimes like... for example, the shotgun, if you try to shoot it again immediately, it'll lock up on you, you know, because just to, you know, emphasize that you can't just spam it or whatever. So that's kind of interesting. A lot of the guns do that, but like the shotgun, you like, because you shoot it and you're like, you click it again and nothing happens. Like you actually feel it, you know, lock up on you, you know. But you could do an upgrade and it'll minimize that. But that happens in there, the locking on. As a matter of fact, it was kind of funny coming off of Returnal playing this. I'm pressing the L2 just halfway down to aim. And it was kind of messing up. Like, no, Tony, you can hold it down all the way like you normally do, you know. It's not going to initiate an alternate fire. But yeah, the game's legit. The crafting is not too bad. It doesn't get into it. It's very straightforward, simple. And it's all done through the menus. You don't have to go to like a crafting station or any of that bullshit, you know.
Yeah, you know, like in Last of Us and stuff like that. That's the only place that you can kind of craft guns.
Yeah, I mean, like if to upgrade your guns, you have to go to this big fat dude. You know, he'll upgrade your guns for you. But like crafting on the fly, you could craft healing, you know, herbs or whatever, and ammo. Craft that all out on the spot. You know, and again, very straightforward. Because you know me, I like my shit simple. I don't want to be fucking around all this crafting and stuff. Like, ooh, what if I combine this, like. Items go with each other. You can't like there's no like free range customization, you know what I'm saying? So which is good because I'm like, I don't want to think about this stuff. It's like, let me just pick up the shit, put it together, and let me go, you know. So yeah, great game. Great game. It's a lot of fun, man. And based off the reactions on Twitter, people are digging it, you know. So it's good. That's stuff good. So yeah, Resident Evil Village. What's up,
Tony? The ultimate question.
Oh,
is this game worth $70?
Oh, is that gonna be the question for every game now?
It has to. We're in the transition. In the transition phase.
Yeah, abso-fucking-lutely. This is Resident Evil, man. Nice. You know, this is Resident Evil. But the thing is, it's probably not worth $70 if you're not a Resident Evil fan. But if you are, and if you just like action games in general, you're good to go, you know? Yeah, I guess we have to answer that all the time. I said we're $70, you know?
Hmm.
That shit is crazy. Oh, is there a debate in the chat? As to the price of this game?
Oh, no. Dad versus the said that he thought it was 60.
PlayStation.
Somebody else is saying, someone's saying it's 70.
No. I guess maybe they're confusing it with the PS4 version.
Maybe.
The PS4 version is 60.
The PS4 version is 60. Yeah. It's the PS. I got the game for review, so I don't know what the price is on PS5. So you guys have to tell me.
I'm gonna turn on my PS5. Check.
By the way, I could tell people that I skilled that shit though, because one of my editors hit me up. It's like, hey Tony, can you do a beginner's tips and tricks guide and shit for Resident Evil? I'm like, I could do that. So I was like, oh, I don't have to buy this game. So I hit up Capcom. Like, yo, can you send me a code? I'm doing this guide. Send me the code. You know, one of the perks of being a game journalist. Which is cool. But I was ready to buy it anyway, because this is Resident Evil, man. You know, Resident Evil games, they always hit that spot, you know? The good Resident Evils, not the bad ones. You know? Because Resident Evil, man, 6...
You don't want to play that dead aim?
Nah, I'm good. Deluxe is $70. Now, let me ask you guys in the chat, is the deluxe version the PS5 version? I honestly don't know the price. I honestly do not know. But I guess we can come back to that.
Just look on the PlayStation store listing.
Yeah, you guys will look it up. I want to go to the next question. All right, this one is also from Black Metal Gamer. This one's an interesting question, which we can answer very easily. He goes, let me finish this one, because I know somebody's going to try to jump in to correct them. Could the RE engine open doors to more new FPS games for Capcom, or should they bring back old IPs like Dark Watch and Dino Crisis? RE Engine is not an FPS engine. Like,
yeah,
Devil May Cry 5 is on it. Monster Hunter Rise is on it. So it's not an FPS engine, you know? So
it's just their studio engine. That's all it is now.
Yeah, that's the Capcom studio engine now, you know?
Well, actually the game is, it's on PS5 is actually $59.99.
Yeah, $60. All right.
It's on Amazon. It's $59.99. So yeah.
What is this game called? Resident Evil.
Village. Yeah. Okay. Wait. Okay. So just to clarify, so it's $60 on PS5.
Yeah, I just checked. It's okay. $60 okay. For standard edition, deluxe is $70.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so the $70 question is not valid then, I guess.
Yeah, not relevant to this all one. Right. Yep.
Not relevant. You know? By the way, I still don't know if that's going to become a standard. Some people are like not liking it too much now that they actually have to pay $70, you know?
Yeah, because, I mean, Returnal for sure was $70, right?
Yeah, 100% was $70, you know?
Yeah. So third party, it might not be. So we'll see.
We'll see. All right, we don't have to go into the other Black Metal question. It's like, yeah, it's not an FPS engine. You know, they've already used it for other games. They used it for an action game and an RPG. So yeah, that's that. Moving on to the next question. Ooh, this one is kind of related to what we talked about on the Thursday show. Mob Hits. Should Halo be given to another developer if Halo Infinite flops? Should another studio help and reboot the franchise?
They have to move it on. Got to do something with it or just kill it. Yeah, there you go. RoboCop world.
22 minutes.
Gotta have something.
No, I agree. If this game flops, give it to another studio.
Back, it should have been handed to another studio. The fact that they even get so many tries is amazing.
But here's the thing, though. They shouldn't just be like, okay, Halo Infinite flop, let's give it to someone right away. Give this game time to breathe. Like,
yeah,
give it 5-10 years. Shit, maybe even 15 years. Give it a generation or something, maybe.
We won't know if it flopped because it's on Game Pass. So they'll just say, oh, look, whatever X amount of millions of people have Game Pass.
You have to judge it by different metric, yeah.
Yeah, so they're going to put a spin on it, and we won't really know.
Yeah, but Microsoft will know. I mean, I guess we're assuming, like, if we're Microsoft and we know it flops,
We know. If we're Microsoft, we'll never kill Halo. They can never do that.
No, they're not, but I think it would be good to give it to another studio.
Oh, yeah.
If it flops, but that's a great point. What would constitute it as flopping? Because obviously back in the regular days, it would be it didn't sell as many copies, it flopped. But now, Game Pass is a little bit different situation, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a combination of sales and engagement on Game Pass. Like,
yeah.
Microsoft has numbers for all of the games that they release on Game Pass. Gears 5,
Geez.
You know, all the newish games that come out day and date on Game Pass. So they should, I mean, if Halo Infinite doesn't do Gears 5 numbers, then
yeah.
It's definitely not
Did
good.
They have it trending? I don't remember if they still had it on the app. Like a little trending section, basically showing what people are downloading and playing on there. But I never trust those things. I feel like everyone's lying. When I see sites like buying, I'm like, that's bullshit. No one's buying this damn Shira doll. No. You know, that's the same thing with this. I think it's, I don't really buy into it, but I'm sure that there's got to be some way that they can push it in the front to show people, like, yeah, you know, people are playing this. Yeah. You should be playing it too.
Yeah. And like, not only is it that metric part of it, but also the metric of sales. I mean, obviously, it's not going to weigh as heavy as it used to, but it's also got to be taken into account. They're still selling this game. And it's going to come out on PC day and date also, I would assume, on Play Anywhere.
Yeah.
For Game Pass. So this, like I said, this has, like I said last week, I think, this has the potential to do way better and rejuvenate the franchise as compared to the last couple of games. But yeah, I mean, if it flops, just let it, put it on ice for a while, and let some of the internal development studios like grow and get, you know, get good. That's a bad phrasing, but
wasn't it already on ice? Like, when was the last?
Halo was never on ice.
It's because, yeah, Halo's always in development. They just, you know, they take their time. They never, it's never like, oh, every year we got to release a Halo game. It's like every 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, 3 or 4 years. So, and that sucks if they put that much time into a game and then it comes out in form. It's like, shit,
And that's one of the bad things with Halo. It's not like, no one has franchise fatigue because they release this game every year. You know, people are getting fatigued because they're not innovating. They're not making experiences that used to, that are even close to the ones that they did with Bungie.
And it all feels the same. Everything, the world, the environment, the enemies, interaction, the weapons, more the same. That works for a sequel, but when you're like this far in, what's this, Halo 6 when it comes to...
Yeah, Halo 6, no, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's time to change it up.
Well, that's what I've been saying. Like, they need a God of War 2018 style reboot where basically you redo the franchise, but you still keep what came before, you know? You don't get rid of that. The franchise needs it badly because it's just the same shit all over again, you know?
Imagine 10 years from now, this Halo Infinite flops. You know, hopefully it doesn't, but let's just say Halo Infinite flops. 343 moves on to do Avatars or something like that. And Halo 7 or whatever the new Halo game is going to be, what if Bethesda takes it over?
Hey,
they could do something like that.
It's possible. It's possible. Give that shit to the Doom team. Yo. Yeah, give it to Id. Give it to Id. Forget about it, man.
Dude, we can see Master Chief as DLC in the next Doom.
I could destroy my timeline like I did earlier this week, man. I could be like, give Halo to Id. Oh, man.
What if I think I said this also before, like, what if the solution is like, yeah, if they can't get this thing to work, maybe Halo needs to go the way of Unreal, where, you know, it doesn't need to have a numbered franchise, a numbered, title anymore, where it just becomes an online mode, because that seems to be the one thing that everybody seems to agree that still seems to hold up is the online portion of the actual game.
Yeah, because a lot of people did not like Halo 5 story, but they loved the multiplayer. So
yeah, so maybe that could also be a possible solution for the Halo franchise. At least literally, you know, indefinitely put it on ice and just continue to just put out the the online mode.
And I think that's what they're actually doing with Infinite, because don't forget the multiplayer is supposed to be free to play.
Yeah.
So there, I think those seeds are already been planted. So, man,
that's what we're hearing coming out of Activision with Call of Duty going free to play and just multiplayer. Then I could definitely see Halo following into that. This is it. But then they got to implement all the microtransactions, and they got to do the battle passes, and they got to get in. And that's something that's not in Halo and in any of the versions that we've seen. So if they bring that in, is that going to deter some hardcore fans? I'm like, oh, now you're turning shit. You know, or are they going to... yeah, that's cool. That's the way things are now.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, either way, I think some people will always bitch.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. It's like Halo fans, at least from my experience, are like very like hesitant about changing. You know, it's like, yeah, it's fine. Just give us good maps, give us good guns, give us the chief. You know, it's like that's all we care about. Like, you guys are part of the problem. You know, you don't want change.
All five of them. All five of them. Yeah, they're the problem. Because I don't know anybody anymore that plays. I have like 200 something friends on my list, and not one person is playing Halo.
No, they're all playing Call of Duty.
And I know. You know? They're playing Call of Duty and of course, the Netflix shit. But no one's playing Halo like they used to. And it used to be amazing. That, it was Gears. At least those two were always, it was always people there because of the multiplayer. Now, no one's really into
it. Yeah. Again, I just find it so funny how for years, companies are trying to make the Halo killer, right? Remember that shit? We're making the Halo killer. Call of Duty came out. That was the Halo killer. Modern Warfare. That was the Halo killer. You know?
That was it.
Ironically, Sony has like failed so many times at trying to do that.
Yeah,
they
right.
They made Haze. They made Killzone.
Killzone.
It's funny, man. Oh yeah, but anyway, we'll see about Halo. All right, moving on to
When's the release date for that? When's the release?
This fall, I believe. I don't know the exact release.
I was wondering if they put an actual. I don't think
they said this fall. They just said 2000.
They gave a window.
Yeah, they gave a window. You know, we'll see. All right, we're gonna talk about something controversial now. Something controversial. This popped off earlier this week. Even your boy got embroiled into this shit, you know?
Oh, you broiling?
Yeah, embroiled, you know? I forgot who originally started it, but a video game reviewer was talking about how, you know, he said that people shouldn't expect reviewers to, like, finish games for a review or whatever. It's kind of a returner, right? Because a lot of reviewers, they're not finished that fucking game. You know, and it went into this whole thing, and I basically, yeah, this guy's right. Like, and I try to explain to people, like, when you have like two or three games and you're on a deadline and your editor wants that review and the PR wants to review and the game's 100 hours long, you ain't finishing that fucking game, you know? So I try to explain.
Unless they give you that time.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I want, before we go to the conversation, I want to know specifically that I think the current, I'm saying this as a video game journalist, right? I think the current model for reviewing games is fucking atrocious, right? We typically get games 5 days before launch or before an embargo, right?
It's the day of.
You got to rush through the shit. You know, you have to say review. You can't say first impressions because SEO and all that, you know? It has to be the review. I think it sucks. In an ideal world, we would get games 2 weeks before the embargo and have all the time in the world, you know, but I, you know, sometimes it's not like that. But the thing is, a lot of fans, and I understand where they're coming from. They're like, no, you have to finish the fucking game. You have to finish it. I understand that. But, you know, as a guy who's been writing reviews now for 10 years, you don't need to finish most games to write a decent review. And I'm sorry, if you can't formulate a good review after 30 hours of playing a game, you're a bad reviewer. Yeah. You know,
Yeah, and not all games, like racing games. I've reviewed a few racing games. When you get a certain hour in, I know the gist of it. I'm racing. Here's the maps. It's never going to change. It's going to be more races. So you can go into those type of things. But yeah, like you said, when you get these games, like I'm still playing Judgment, you know, and they give it the day after.
Yeah, that's too much. But obviously, like for example, if you have a game like The Last of Us, finish that the game's 10 hours. Finish it, you know? Things like that, you finish that shit. But if you get a 100-hour RPG... You don't come on, bro. If after 30 hours you can't tell me if that game's good or not, obviously there's exceptions. There's exceptions where like Final Fantasy 13 gets good after 60 hours, but that means that's just a bad game.
Yeah,
let's just be real here. You know?
Wait. Are you? Is this a confession?
No, it's not a confession. I still like the game, but I can admit it was a bad game objectively. You know?
Okay.
Remember, I could be both, Carlos. I could be both. You know?
I was about to do it.
Yeah,
no, I mean, that's a fake neutral, son.
Yeah. You know, but my only thing that frustrates me, besides the fact that I have to be stuck in this kind of, it's a machine. Let's just be real here. That fans don't understand, you know, and it's like, and I don't want to be an asshole, but it would be like, all right, let me put, like, you come into my shoes for a week, bro. You know, when you have your editor telling you to get that fucking review at this certain time, we have PR telling you get that shit out at a certain time, what are you going to do? You're going to tell me you're not going to do it? Okay, good. They'll fire your ass and get somebody else, you know? Again, it fucking sucks, but that's just the way it is, you know?
I forgot who said it. It was somebody that was in the business that also during this whole time and just said it best. He was like, it's an opinion piece. It's not a guide. It's not a walk. It's not going to cover every little nick and cranny and aspect. Like,
oh, yeah.
About no, this one part in chapter 11. It's like,
yeah, like no one's that, reviewing that. I mean, there are guys that do that on YouTube, but that's exhausting. I'm saying this just personally. To me, if you're, like, for example, if you're doing a video review should not be longer than 5 fucking minutes. That's all you need. But you have guys that are, and here's an hour review. I'm like, an hour? What the fuck? Yeah, who needs that shit? You know? And here's the thing. And I learned this from the fucking blog, right? When I started reviewing games on the blog that we guys had, I was just like, yep. I only need to play 5 hours of games mostly. I'm like, the rest is just for the fuck of it. You know, because most games, once they hit a specific loop, they keep going and going and going. But obviously, if it's a narrative-driven game, you need to finish that shit for obvious reasons, you know?
Think of it like a food critic. They go in, they take a few bites, and then they can tell you. They don't eat the whole meal. I'm like, I got to try every little. Take a few bites and get it. Like, all right, I got an idea.
Yeah, you're right about it. And the other thing, Carlos, I'll let you go next. Like, the analogy going, oh, imagine a movie reviewer only watches 15 minutes. Like, dude, a two-hour movie is different than a 100-hour game. That's a big difference, dude. You know? You can watch, like, 50 movies in that amount of time, you know? Go ahead, Carlos.
Yeah, I think, you know, it always depends on the game. You can – Monster Hunter, you don't need to play that game for the 200 hours
of being played. No, you don't, you know?
To say it's a freaking amazing game.
Yeah, I'm not going to be like, an hour 50 bezel, guys. I'm not going to say shit like that. Who cares, you know?
Or even the game like The Division. The Division, you got to play. You got to play 20, 30 hours. You'll know what the game is after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, there's a game like The Last of Us. There is a game like, Resident Evil Village.
Yeah.
Those games lend themselves to be able to complete to actually get the whole experience of the game.
Yep.
Like what they're intending. For The Division, for Monster Hunter, it's all about the loop. Once they get you into that loop, you play that same exact loop for 200-300 hours.
Once you see how the crafting works, once you see how the mission structure works and the objectives and the mission types, and it's like, I see what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. You get the gist of it. And like I said, my personal rule is if it's a long game and I'm under deadline, 30 hours minimum. That's my personal thing. If I don't have the gist of a game for 30 hours, that's a bad game. And anyway, I'm not telling you about when it comes to the story, I'm not telling you the shit that happens in the end. I never do that. Even with games like, and by the way, I beat 95% of my games. Look at my fucking trophies. You know what I'm saying? I beat 95% of the games I fucking play, you know, and review. But like, I'm never going to tell you, oh, the resolution to this game was good. I'm not going to tell you that shit. You know, I'm going to just tell you, hey, here's the basic story. Here are the mechanics, the shit you actually want to know. By the way, some of the guys in the chat are listing some content creators that do long reviews like ATG. Logic Wins, what's going on, brother? He says Angry Joe. He says he likes his 30 minute to 1 hour long reviews. That's, again, for me, that's too long. Three to 5 minutes. That's all you need for a review. Skill Up. I've heard of that. I guess he does long reviews, too. How could you review a game like Halo Infinite, which will be multiplayer heavy weeks ahead of time? That's with those type of games, like, I think it might be, even though I don't like this, I think it might be worth revisiting those kind of games later on. But even with a game like that, 30 hours, that's all you need. Like, especially a multiplayer game. Actually, a multiplayer game, you need less time than that. Let's just be real here. If it's like a heavy multiplayer focused game, you don't need more than 10 hours for that, man. You really don't. Even that's a little excessive, you know? Because once you know the loop, you know the loop.
You know? Shit, even a game like Fortnite, all you need to do is play one match. You know what the hell the game's about.
You know the whole game, you know? So basically, the thing is, like, the whole, like, that, not every game fits that mold. Tetris, you only need an hour to play that shit for an hour to get the gist of that game. Last of Us 2, you need to play the full 20 hours to get that game. You know what I'm saying? So it's a case-by-case basis. Again, I just wish the fans would understand that. We're all stuck in this cycle together, you know, and ideally, not only will we not be constrained by that, we will also not have numbered reviews either. You know, but that's another thing, you know.
And also, don't like number reviews.
It's important to note that some reviewers get games earlier than others. So yes, they're not, it's not all equal.
Yo, and I'm so glad to say, I got to throw a name out there. I got to throw a name out there. And I'm not trying to talk shit, just being real here. Because one of the clips I was being tossed around was, it was a clip of Colin Moriarty, right? He was saying that he thinks it's bullshit. He's like, you game journalists are being fucking lazy. Finish your fucking games. And he was like, I always finish my games. And if I couldn't, I wrote my thesis. I'm like, Colin, you were for IGN and you were Colin Moriarty. You got games earlier than everybody else, bro. You had the luxury of finishing those games on time. You know what I'm saying? So, like, so it's not exactly one-to-one, you know, but I do like
that. And he did walkthroughs. That was his thing at GameFAQs. He did a lot of walkthroughs.
Yeah, but I do like I do like his things, like, if I can't beat the game, I'm going to kind of make the reviewer thesis around it. That's kind of cool. But, again, sometimes your editors don't care about that. Get the fucking review out. You know?
No, but I mean, here's the thing. Like, yeah, again, he is Colin Moriarty. He's a special case.
Yeah.
They'll give him that shit early because he is who he is. Everybody else, you know, like, you know, say, you know, like folks like the Coalition and everybody else, sometimes you're getting that shit like literally the day before it actually comes out.
Yep. Yep. But I will say this though. So this thing we got brought up, and I'm being mad open about it. If I get a game code from your company a day before launch, you're going to get that review when I'm done with it. I'm like, if you didn't bother to get me that shit early, I'm not going to bother you. I'm not going to bother rush through that fucking review, you know? Yeah. So like, yeah, I'll finish it on my time, you know?
If it's before embargo, then it's like, okay. But if you're doing it after, then there's no point.
Yeah, like Returnal.
Colin Moriarty said so.
Colin Moriarty said so. So I found that because people are
from Long Island.
Yeah, and because people are like, "Oh, Tony, what do you think about what Colin said?" I don't want to go back and forth with him or whatever. But it, you know, I'm like, this is my podcast, so I'm going to do it now. But it's like, dude, you were Colin Mario. I mean, he is Colin Mario, but you know what I'm saying? Because he's out of the industry now. But when you were at IGN, IGN gets games before everybody, and you were Colin Moriarty. So. Nah, yeah. I'm sorry, yeah. man. You know,
there ain't no. I've never heard any situation where fucking IGN has ever been slumming it and had to, not get a review out. No, they the get the
one. The Bethesda, the Doom 2016. That's the only one that comes to mind, and that was that with everybody at the time.
That was one of the first Bethesda, because Bethesda does that all the time now. Fallout 76. Everybody got that shit on day one. You know, no exceptions. That's just how Bethesda rolls.
That's how they affect reviews.
Yeah.
Where essentially, you know, if you're not getting the reviews, like if everybody's reviews are late, right? That means that nobody can just look. People are essentially buying based on the fact that they like the franchise. It's just a little fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy that the game reviewers got Fallout 76 day one, while the general public got it in 200 days afterwards.
Oh, shit.
Well, because here's the thing. They knew that that's also the telltale sign whenever you get a review copy late. It shows that the company doesn't have a lot of faith or there's something seriously wrong with it.
I'm saying all this as a professional. It is very manipulative when companies do that shit because they know what they want. They know if they get you that review copy late, you're not going to have enough time to get that review out on launch day. So the fans will just buy it off of faith. Let's just be real here. You know, very manipulative, man. You know,
what was it? Was that NBA Live one a few years back? Or maybe now it's even further back. But I remember it was a big deal coming out with.
Logic Win says, who determines when a game review is late? The embargo is the date, man. That's the date. You know, if it's after embargo, then it's late, you know.
But you gotta understand Logic Win's, like, when it comes to websites, like bigger websites, they want those clicks. And if you don't have that shit like day and date, you're losing potential money from any of those clicks.
I'm gonna ask, Brett. I'll let you come in here for a little bit. I just gotta say this because GZDR says, "How long do you think reviewers played Death Stranding before they got to the feel of it?" Here's the thing about Death Stranding, and I can say this now publicly, right? Every review that you read of that game, including mine, was only based off the first four chapters because the embargo thing said specifically your review cannot mention anything after chapter four. Manipulative, just saying.
Yeah, you know? That's controlling the narrative. That's not right. That's not a full review. What if right after that, the game went to poo-poo? You know, I was like, oh, shit.
You were not allowed to talk about that. So anyway, Brett, get in here, man, because you're kind of, you know, I just want your thoughts on this because you probably have a more idealized version of this.
Of what exactly? There's been a lot of back and forth. I think I lost track of the original question. I do have feelings, though.
Of course you do. No, do you think you know, game reviewers should finish game reviews, games that they review?
Yeah, okay. So I have mixed feelings about this. I have seen game reviews. I've seen the layouts and the packages they send you, and the bad news is you guys are being manipulated way more than you think. As Tony touched on, a lot of times they tell you what you can say, what pictures you can use, what parts of the game you're allowed to talk about, what parts of the game you're not allowed to talk about. It's just kind of a thing. I hate to say it and sound cynical, but that's part of the journalism industry, right? Like, you have to look at professional journalists with a little bit of critical thought, right? Like, yeah, you can like Angry Joe. You can like Tony, right? Like, I know Tony. I've done my research on him.
Yeah.
I continue to do it on this show repeatedly, and I have a good idea of where he's coming from. So when he writes a review, I can generally tell. Tony's generally not going to come out and say this game is a hot dumpster fire that should have been aborted. He's not going to do that. He will, however, tell you his frank opinions about what's wrong with the game. And you have to kind of infer from that a lot of his feelings, because he does try to be objective. So, like, it's, there are certain lines you can cross and certain lines you can't cross. And that only changes if you're some sort of kind of gamer shock jock who's just allowed to tell it like it is. Like, yeah, that guy would be great. That guy would also never get any video games and never have a fucking review for you by embargo.
Colin Moriarty. Colin Moriarty nowadays, just saying.
Yep. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you see how that works? So it's, you got to dance with the devil a little bit if you want to join, honestly, any industry. It's very naive to think that this shit doesn't go on literally everywhere. There's more than three people. It happens in the tattoo industry. I'm sure it happens in the comic industry.
Yeah.
The other thing about it is that it's a little bit more unique, especially when it comes to games reviews, is how beholden the game review industry is to the video game companies. No, in the movie industry, they don't give you half a movie and say you can only review the first half of the fucking movie. The only thing that they can do, and which they also get, the industry gets called out by, you know, if you ever watched Siskel and Ebert before, they'll say like, yeah, we didn't get a preview screening, so we won't be reviewing this. Which usually means when they do those sorts of things, like, they don't, usually the movie industry doesn't really do stuff like that. They usually just sort of like let the reviewers come through and say what they want, you know, see, you know, and not try to control the narrative. You know, when there's something up, when they try to do something like that, just like in the game industry. But it doesn't happen as often as it seems to happen within the game industry, where they're literally just saying, yeah, you can only do this. You can only show this picture. You can't say that there's glitches in the game. You know, it'll be crazy shit.
Yeah, like, because I've been to a bunch of movie screenings, right? They're usually about a week before the movie. I have never had an embargo for any of those, ever. The day I see that movie at a screening, I can say whatever the fuck I want. You know, games are not like that, you know? Anyway, Brett, continue.
I mean, that was a lot of my point, is that, unfortunately, games being such long-form media, people invest a lot of money in it, and people are very interested about where you go and what you do, because they don't have your eye the way a movie does. It's not necessarily as curated of an experience, but they want you to experience a very curated experience. I mean, I've seen it down to, and Tony, correct me if I'm wrong, but I've seen down, like, they're not telling you what to say, but they're encouraging certain key phrases in your review.
Yeah, they are. Oh, by the way, and I think I've said this. I don't know if I said this on air. I definitely told you guys off air, because every game comes with a review guide. Unless it's like the embargo, like, don't talk about this game at this point, I throw that shit out the window. I'm like, fuck that. I'm gonna write whatever fuck I'm gonna write.
But Tony, you know what's funny? That's like a cheat sheet in a way. They're like, hey, if you only want to play it, this is the guy.
It is. Yeah, you're right about that. Because Brett, I'll let you go real quick. But this is just to emphasize your point, right? When I went to that first EA event and they gave me a sheet of like what the game features, I'm like, damn, I could literally just show up here, grab this sheet, write a whole feature, and not even have played a single damn thing. You know, so yeah, it's very, very controlled in that way. You know, but the Death Stranding thing is said in big red letters: do not talk about this game after chapter 4. You know, because I just look out for it. But other than that, I'm like, fuck this shit. You know, I'm gonna write what I'm gonna write. Anyway, go ahead, bro.
Have you ever read a review that almost sounds just like another review? That almost sounds like just. Almost just sounds like another review,
dude. Why do you? That's why. That's one of the. No.
That's my point.
Yeah. No, Brett, just answer a question. That's why I stopped reading reviews. I'm like, they all read the same.
Exactly, because a lot of reviewers don't have a lot of writing talent. Let's be fucking honest here. There's a difference between a journalist and a writer. Fortunately, like, Tony's both, but, like, not everybody fucking is. So a lot of people are just going to dress up, because they'll send it to you in long form, too. Like, they'll send it to you in full paragraph, like, we want to see something like this, and pretty much give you an example of review. And people just fucking paraphrase. Like, have you ever written a book report off the back of a book? That's what they're fucking doing. And it's the same amount of low effort, and it still fucking works in the grand scheme of things. That's why you have to be, like I said, read reviews with a critical eye. Read a few. And if it sounds like they sound the fucking same, it's because that motherfucker's a shill.
Oh, shit. I'm not going to go that far, but some of these guys, like, you could get, you could, but I should say this, and Adam, you could watch this. They don't send those as much as they used to. Like, review guides, like, when I first started in this industry, almost all games had them. There's very few now, you know? But again, like I said, I ignore that shit, you know?
It depends on the game, and I forgot what it was. It was a game not so long ago that I remember seeing, and it was like, oh, yeah, here's our guide. You know, really look into it. It's like, telling me what to do. No, I'm not looking into it.
Again, I said, I only look at whatever's in red. That's all I care about. Whatever's in red. Other than that, I'm like, that's it. I'm doing my thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but other people are mouthpieces.
Oh,
other
no, I understand that.
And that's it. That's when I say they're a shill, I fucking stand by that. They have been paid, and they're a mouthpiece for a paid company acting as if they're not. That is like the very fucking definition.
Yeah, but the video game companies are not paying people to review games, though. Let's get that out there.
Know.
You know?
No, they're giving them free shit.
And that's it. And that's why a lot of these follow that guy, because they were like, well, this is what they want me to say, and I want to keep getting free games for producing more content for the site, and they don't give a shit. And that's when you start reading, and you can do a copy-paste and do a search, keyword search, and find the same phrases, the same paragraphs in each of the reviews. It's because they're doing that, the cut and pasting. You know what? They're okay doing it because they're like, hey, the publisher told me to do this. They're not going to get pissed. They'll be like, they told me follow the guide. It's labeled guide. Why would you do that? Whatever. But that's the way it is.
Adam, they can do it because, their company doesn't get pissed, and the customers don't get pissed. Like, what are you guys going to do? Like, you read a review that copy and pasted the same thing from another one, and what? What is your recourse from that point? Write a fucking angry letter? You don't even know who actually wrote the article, because nobody reads who wrote the fucking article. It's just thrown in there in GameSpot or IGN or one of the big fucking things. It's copy and pasted up there with zero fucking effort.
The whole system is screwed.
Yeah, I'm not calling out any company individually, but those who do it, you know who you fucking are.
Oh man. Anyway, Brian, get in here, man. I want your thoughts, Brian. Because you've written your show reviews as well, sir.
It's a lot to take in, definitely. I'd say I'm in the camp that there are some games that you can review without finishing, but then there are other games that you can't. So, again, as Tony said, it just depends on the game itself. I can understand the frustration with, like, being told that, hey, I didn't finish the game, but here's my thoughts on it. It's like, well, it's not the complete package. But then again, most of the time, unless the story changes wildly or it's very focused on the story, it doesn't really matter if they finish it, because you can play Monster Hunter for like 10 hours and that's the game. Like, there isn't really much else to it after that. It's just that, hey, here's 100 hours extra off the same 10 hours you've been playing, which is fair enough. Again, that's not a bad thing. It's just the way the game is. But then there are other games where, hey, the story is all this stuff, and certain things happen, certain twists happen, the gameplay changes, like Nier Automata. Like, the gameplay somehow goes, okay, we're now a top-down shooter, or we're now a bullet hell, you know? So, with stuff like that, I can understand why you'd want people to complete the game.
Yeah.
So, it just really depends.
Yeah, it really does.
I have a question.
Call us further than Brett.
This will be quick. Like, even for, like, Nier Automata, it's like, not only do you have to beat the game, you have to beat it three times to actually know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, the second round is like a trick, because it's mostly the same as the first. But then the sneaky thing is that the third part of the game is a totally different thing, totally different direction.
Yeah, go ahead, Brett.
I'm kind of wondering why we don't have the embargo dates almost written in the reviews, because I feel like, honestly, any sensible person, and I could be completely off track here because I still somehow give people too much credit, I feel like any responsible person, if they know that the embargo lifted, they know I received this game 42 hours before the release of this, they're going to take into context that you've only gotten so far in the game. I mean, it's physically impossible to play a week of a game if you only get it 2 days ahead of time. It's you can't do it.
You mean that you should have the date you received the copy?
Yeah.
Okay, because like the embargo date is when it goes live. Like that's when
reviews go live. Sorry, I misworded that. Yeah. They should all come clearly labeled with when you've received the copy and how long you've been able to play it.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. I would love to do that myself, but the game company specifically would not want you to do that shit.
You know? They don't want you to. Yeah. And then let's say there's a negative review on him. Like you just
If it was up to me, if it was up to me, I'd put the date I got the review and how many hours I put into the thing. But game companies are not going to be happy with that, you know?
And see, well, here's a point. I'm going to go off on a bit of a tangent. You brought up Fallout 76 before and how it took 2 years to be released. I'm not going to argue with that fact. That was clearly the redheaded fucking stepchild they only turned back and fixed because everybody got so pissed. But that's my point here. Is gamers have more of a voice in their industry than anything else. If we want to change the way reviews are done, if we want to be able to actually give reviewers the time to be able to complete it, we need to be basically let our voice be heard. And we need to be talking to the big sites and saying, you know, you need to be pestering them for this, but we also need to be pestering the fucking game companies. Like, if a company comes out with, if they send out the game on day one, that should be a thing gamers know, and gamers can get pissed about it, and gamers can start identifying the fucking companies that do that. I mean, we already have a pretty good idea when you don't get a review copy day one. That's a bad idea. But what about for all the people that aren't anywhere near a journalism circle who haven't figured that out in casual passing? I don't know. I just feel like gamers have changed a whole lot of shit in the industry, and this should be one of the things that we're calling for, but it's strangely just missed. Because everybody I know is pissed about it, but nobody I know wants to change it.
Yeah.
I think that the publishers really don't give a shit. They want their game out there, and they want talking about it. They don't care if it's the day of, the week after. They just want you talking about it. So that's just how it is on their end. That's not a big to-do. They don't like, oh, damn, we didn't get everybody the copy embargo. Oh, no, we failed. They don't give a shit. And you know, they'll be like, oh, okay, we'll send it to you day of or next week, whatever. If they really care, you get it early, like the IGN and those. But
well, could maybe that be an avenue that people start just actively mentioning, I received this game with plenty of time. Like, you know, they're shining on the positive and they just don't say anything when they don't send it to you a day fucking early.
Yeah, but the problem is if you start doing that, some companies will not be happy you do that. Understand?
Yeah. They don't want to be outed.
And I know nobody wants to dive on that grenade, so I completely understand it. But goddamn, do we need that?
Yeah, and again, man, ideally, I would personally list when I got the review copy, how much time I put into the game. I would love to do that shit, but the companies are not going to be happy doing that.
When the companies start canceling their shit after, like I remember with the Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
They told us, oh, don't worry, you're definitely getting codes, you're getting codes. And then like 2 days before, no codes for you, sorry.
I'm not going to name a company, but this one company, they gave me a very specific embargo date. Ready to go, and then they changed it at the last minute, so I had to compensate for that. Me and my editor were fucking livid, you know. But again, they're the ultimate holders of these things, so we can't think about it. Because people are blaming the game journalists and stuff, because we're the guys who bring you the fire, you know, from Mount Olympus. But the gods are fucking us over too. You know what I'm saying?
Isn't that literally shooting the messenger?
Yeah, it is. I mean,
not quite literally, but like that is the epitome of shooting the messenger.
Yeah, so it's like we're getting the brunt of it, but we're not. It's not our fault. We are trying to do our best with the system, you know. But no, yeah.
I think I've seen. I don't know if it was IGN. It was some big site where it was two or three games that I remember them getting, and they didn't get a long enough time, and they were like, "Oh, this is just our first impressions."
Yeah.
They were using that title. Oh, first impressions, we'll get a review. I'm pretty sure it was IG.
Yeah, they do that. Like, they're called review in progress.
Yeah, you know? There you go. Review in progress. And I was like, you know what? That makes more sense.
Yeah. I'll be honest, man. There are instances where I get a game like kind of late-ish or whatever, or close to the release date. And I'm actually prefer those. So I'm like, okay, I could just take my fucking time now. You know, because if I'm taking my time, I'm finishing the game, you know? But again, that doesn't happen very often for me. I finish most fucking games. Like the one I'm about to answer right now. This question is from GZDR. He goes, Tony, what about a game like Days Gone that was given to the reviewers early and was filled with bugs? The bugs was patched out within a week, but the damage was done. Should a game like that get a second review? Okay, yeah, I got that game 2 weeks beforehand. I I finished the whole game and I played it nice and slow, chill. That is the ideal way of doing fucking reviews. So when I had that review ready, I had that review ready 3 days before fucking embargo. Like, I finished it. Here's my review. But the thing is, I may be a little bit of a special case for this game. I didn't experience those bugs everybody else did. I'm not saying the game didn't have bugs. I've seen those videos. The game was buggy as fuck. But for me, the game never bugged out. So I never talked about that because I didn't experience it. And remember, here's the other thing. On the one hand, I like reviewing a game after the game comes out because I have time with it. But at the same time, I also like reviewing a game beforehand because when I'm reviewing a game beforehand, I don't have any outside influence influencing me. You know, like if a game is out, I have to work very hard to not listen to other people's opinions so they don't taint my own. So I do like getting games early so I don't have to worry about anything because I don't know what the fuck anybody else thinks, you know? So that's like the rawest fucking, review. But with this game, no. And as for games getting a second review, I don't know. I'm still not really with it per se, but I also understand maybe you should get a second review. But the thing is, with Metacritic and all that, it's going to change the score. Again, the system is so messed up.
Okay, I gotta ask this question.
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest, I'm very results oriented, sometimes to an insulting degree to others. But I just gotta say, this sounds like should reviewers be held accountable to the thing they turned in to be judged? Like, if this was a fucking baking contest or a tattoo competition or fucking anything, like, yes, the thing you turn into the judge is the thing you get judged on. That's very straightforward. And if it does a lot of damage to your brand, maybe don't hand in something bad to be judged. If I just face-planted a tattoo, which thank God I don't do, but if I just came in fucking drunk and face-planted a tattoo and put that god-awful mess up in the middle of a convention to be judged, like all my peers would look at me like, what the fuck? And I'm sure a good amount of customers do, as well they should. You don't put something in for judging unless it's extra fucking crispy.
Yeah, and Brett, and that's why I specifically do not like, here's the second version of the review. I'm like, no, I'm reviewing the thing I got, bro. You know, if it's bad, it's fucked up. That's not on me. That's on the company that gave it to me because I didn't patch this shit out. You know, that's my stance.
A huge red flag in and of itself.
Yeah, that's my stance. I'm like, listen, I'm reviewing anything I got sent. If it gets fixed afterwards, that's not my problem. You know.
No! Review this one. Fuck you! Why'd you give me a broken game?
Yeah. So, yeah, this whole thing is messed up. You know, this is going to be a TD Clips, you know, just to see if I can open some eyes. By the way, I did the impossible today, man. I did the impossible today. I got someone who was against me, you know, on this stance to see my point of view. And we both walked away after a civil conversation.
Hey, there's a 0% chance this happened on Twitter.
This happened on Twitter.
No, I don't believe you.
I'll send you the thread, man. It's there. The guy came and he literally ended it quoting me going, I was wrong about Tony. He's in a fucked up situation. You know?
By the way, this isn't going to be a TD Eclipse. This is going to be a TD essay, man.
Oh, you know? Yeah, this is going to be one for all time. So you guys understand how this shit works, you know? But, you know, this is what we do on Thursday. We have industry professionals in this bitch, so we will tell you how things are, you know, but we also keep it real here, you know?
That's the thing. I think the one biggest factor about a lot of this is the fact that there is no information, you know, from people, right?
Yeah.
With the exception of the unique case of Colin Moriarty or anybody else like a Greg Miller or any of those other guys, right? Those guys are special. Everybody else is just struggling to get along.
Yep, that's how it is, man.
And even those motherfuckers have received their games late or not received the game at all, and they said, oh, no, we're not going to review it.
Yeah, that's how it is, man. All right, let's move on, man. Next question. This one I feel like we've answered before, so correct me if I'm wrong, and we can move on to a different one. This is Black Mage. What movie director would you pair with a developer or publisher in order to make a game? Well, I feel like we've answered this before.
We talked about it, and my answer was a joke. It was like, yeah, it should be Kojima who does it.
Just for both of them, right? You know?
Yeah.
Tarantino.
Yeah, Tarantino with who? What publisher?
I could see him with Naughty Dog.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know, I don't know. Take their production, but scrap the story and then stick one of his stories on there.
I don't know if with the the direction that Quentin Tarantino films get criticized for would mesh
that's a good point.
Naughty Dog.
You're right about that.
I'd be like the guy who directed Twilight, right?
What?
Huh?
I'm just cracking last night. Right.
but it would have to be Quentin Tarantino probably doesn't fit with them so well. I mean, if it was Naughty Dog without that other part of Naughty Dog, yes.
Well, I mean,
he fits at Rockstar.
He fits at Rockstar.
Yes. Last of Us would honestly have to be one of those Emmy directors, and that's not even like being cheeky or shitting on them. Like that, it would have to be a high drama director.
It would have to be like Steven Spielberg. It would have to be somebody like
Christopher Nolan.
Christopher Nolan could fit over there.
I feel like this would be like a fucking high drama, like fucking some Notebook shit.
Carlos, who made Moonlight?
what's his name? Barry Jenkins.
That guy would be a good
Naughty Dog. But again, yeah, what director would direct what franchise?
No, not that. The question was, what movie, let me read the whole question. What movie director would you pair with a developer or publisher in order to make a game? What would that game be? And would it be a hit?
Oh, okay, I can answer this. Yeah, Naughty Dog with literally anybody who's won an Emmy in the last year, make it a high drama, interpersonal story backdrop by some oppressing worldview, and yes, it'll make millions.
So just to clarify, I don't know if you're being ironic, but an Emmy is the TV stuff. Are you talking about TV or movie?
Oh, I'm talking about Oscar. My bad. You can tell how much I care about this shit.
Well, don't worry, Brett. I don't know either, man.
It's funny. It's funny because it could be an Emmy, you know, because it's like, yo, man, you're not good enough for an Academy Award. You get an Emmy.
And by the way, Quentin Tarantino has won an Academy Award.
By the way, the example Black Mage gave is M. Night Shyamalan and Kojima.
I was actually thinking that. Great minds.
Oh man.
I would think David Lynch and Kojima.
That would work too. Yeah. I got one. I got one. James Cameron and Ubisoft. Oh wait, that happened. It wasn't that good.
No, man. Tony, you had it, man. You had it. You should have said James Cameron and the people doing Star Citizen.
Nice.
That's a good one. No, that's too clever for me, man. That's a good one. You know, because they both ain't giving you the shit they promise you, you know?
Oh, yeah, they give you shit, man.
All right, so thank you for giving me my answer, Carlos. James Cameron and fucking whoever making Star Citizen. Those grifters, you know?
Oh yeah. Oh, I got one. Yeah. What's it called? Never mind. That doesn't make sense. Because I'm thinking Christopher Nolan's my favorite director right now. So mm-hmm. I'm trying to put him into a studio that I think would be perfect. I think you can do Naughty Dog because Naughty Dog, especially with the Uncharted games, they have like great set pieces, and I feel like he does that. Like Christopher Nolan does it, like Tenet, The Dark Knight. Like he has great set pieces, like that kind of stuff. And Inception as well.
I got one. You know what? I'm this one is for Chris. This is Chris's answer. Guillermo del Toro and From Software. Tell me that shit would be crazy.
Yeah, Guillermo do all the characters and shit.
Yeah,
crazy ass fuckers.
Hell yeah. Yeah,
that'll be pretty good. Yeah.
How about I want Guillermo del Toro to direct a
del Toro?
Oh, what?
Guillermo del Toro.
There you go.
Did I say it weird or something?
You said del Toro.
Oh, I fucking trip on my own tongue sometimes.
You're good.
Yeah,
you know
what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're good. You're good. I was just joshing.
I want to do a horror action game with Capcom. It could be anywhere between Resident Evil and Monster Hunter.
I like. Yep. Yeah, that'd be good. That's a good one, Brett. Brian,
I wanted to be
clever. What happened?
I wanted to be clever, but it doesn't make sense. I was just gonna say, you know, Hayao Miyazaki with From Software Miyazaki. You know, they do. But,
the Miyazakis.
That would Miyazaki. Be weird.
Hayao Miyazaki would probably like have some sort of creative difference with Miyazaki from Software. You know, they'd be like, these interactive games are garbage.
Did you see, Manny, did you see that clip of Miyazaki like making fun of the animators who they showed him a clip and that's like of a deformed thing and Miyazaki just shitted on all of them and it's on a camera.
Didn't he say like, anime was a mistake or something?
Or well, yeah, he said something.
Yo, by the way, the image I got in my head when you had the two Miyazakis is that Spider-Man meme, two Spider-Mans pointing at each other. You know, Brian, get in here.
Oh, that's a good question. Again, like all the good ones have been taken, so it's really difficult, like, to think outside the box.
All right, what director would be perfect for Platinum Games? Michael Bay, I guess.
Michael Bay is just more like explosion. Like you want someone who does good at the John Wick guy.
Ooh, John Wick. There you go. Yeah, John Wick guy. Yeah. There you go.
Good. Oh, John Wick lady. Oh,
yeah.
No, get a Chinese director. Like,
which one?
I don't know. Who directed Heavenly Sword?
The game.
Yeah. You want some slow mo cinematography?
Oh, well, that's Ninja Theory. They did Heavenly Sword.
No, the movie. There's a movie that they made.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was actually a fairly decent act. Yeah, honestly, I don't know a bunch of Chinese directors either, but Chinese movies are always fucking visually crazy.
Yeah. That
Corey Ewing, man. You know, Corey Ewing, the director of The Transporter and a bunch of other really good Hong Kong action films. He also directed Dead or Alive, by the way.
What's the one that directed Hulk? Remember that one?
Ang Lee. He did Crouching Tiger, right?
He did Crouching Tiger.
Yeah.
Life of Pi, he also did.
The Joy Luck Club, wasn't that him too?
He did Brokeback Mountain too, by the way.
Oh, he's interesting. Done a lot of,
he's diverse in his.
Yeah, that's diversity.
There you go.
All right. Did we? I think we.
Oh, I yeah. didn't go, answer. Go ahead, mate. I'm going to say an easy one. Guillermo del Toro and Hideo Kojima.
There you go. Making a horror game.
You're making a horror game. I don't know. Maybe not Silent Hill.
TP maybe
work on a story-based Mario Kart, both of them.
You know what they could do? You know it's funny what they could do with that? Literally, they could literally, if they work together, they could call the next game PT.
They could. They could just call it PT.
They could just call the next game PT and then just have the whatever it means, like
yeah.
Not playable teaser, but something
yeah,
else.
Yeah, post-traumatic. I don't know.
Yeah, post-traumatic.
Part-time.
You know? Good stuff.
Phantom Time.
Was that the name of it? Just that it was a playable trailer?
Playable trailer, yeah.
Playable teaser. No, that's what it's called. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it had no game.
It was supposed to be Silent Hills, but yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move on to the next question. This one is... also from Black Mage. Okay. Growing up, what were some house rules that you had when it came to gaming? For example, guests had to use the third-party janky Mad Catz controller, or if you were caught screen-watching, you had to sit out a round or two or get punched.
Oh, I thought what the beginning of this was house rules as far as your parents went.
No, he's talking about like rules between gamers, you know, like we had some, remember Manny, like don't get, you know, what was up? Go ahead, Brett, go ahead.
He says you have to use the janky third-party Mad Catz controller. That is definitely, if you come to my house, these are the rules of gaming that you follow.
Yeah, that's the house rules. But no, like Manny, remember when we used to play fighting games, we had certain rules like don't keep a guy in the corner for no cornering, no throwing, shit like that, you know. Not too many combos, you know, shit like that. So, yeah, we had some house rules for fighting games.
Well, mostly those were made for Evil Chris.
They were made for him.
That's all the shit he would do. He would corner you, he'd throw the shit out of you.
Yeah, we made it for him.
Also, don't use the fucking programmable controller.
Yeah, you're right. Now that I think about it, all those rules we made up were for him. Because he would always try to fucking cheat. But the other one was like, if you lost the round, you got to give up to the next guy. And basically, you would just keep on. But I think like if you won two in a row, you still had to give it up anyway. You know, because, you know, instead of just having the same guy again for Evil Chris, you know.
Yeah. Because so, he'd whip everybody's ass and just continue to whip everybody's ass. So.
Yeah. So like after he wins like two or three rounds, it's like, all right, next guy, you know. So those were some of our, it was just for fighting games. We didn't really play much else, you know, together. No. Mostly fighting games. Adam,
I mean, that was mostly for the fighting game rule, like the fighting game rules. Stuff. But I don't think for anything else we had any sort of additional rules. I can't remember anything like,
But again, that's what we mostly played. We didn't really play too many other type of, like, we would play Smash TV or something, but you don't need rules for that. You just play Smash TV, you know? Mm-hmm. Adam, do you guys have any house rules?
No. The only rule, it was not even a house, it was just online. And whenever I play with people, what that only comes to my mind with the wrestling games is that no using custom wrestlers, because everybody would put 100 and use their 100. Oh, I made this guy, and they're all 100 overall. It's like cheating. It's like not even to just use the base characters, and that's it. But for internal house, no. I don't think I had enough people ever come over to play it. It's like that. So, nope.
Well, that's a sad Adam story.
Yeah, sorry. Right.
Well, Adam had a lot of friends. They just didn't come over all
the time. They didn't come over for the games. Yeah, we skated. And
Whoa. All right, Carlos, you have any, did you guys have any house rules for gaming?
Yeah. A lot of them that have been said, obviously the one about the controllers is the best one, especially for the N64 days, because those controllers wore off quick and they were shitty after a couple of weeks. So I would always use the main one, the one that worked. The shitty Mad Cats is really relevant to me, because I'll just let the person visiting use it, because they're at the mercy of my house.
In my house.
And there, sometimes we had like different rules for fighting games. Like, for example, we used to play Marvel vs. Capcom 2, and one of our rules was don't use support. We always felt like the base game was much better played like just with the singular characters, and to just include all the other dudes like coming and supporting you. So we used to always do that. Obviously, if you lose, you have to give up the controller. But if you win, you keep going.
Yeah,
you could be the best player, and you'll play forever.
Cool. Yeah,
I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, Brett, house rules.
Oh, yeah, man, I had a ton. Well, like I played a lot of not just fighting games. Like I played, and maybe I'm the weird one here, but played a lot of single player games with friends. And the rules were kind of always the same, man. Like, one life, one turn, and that's exempt, of course. You get a mulligan if you die in, like, the first 30 seconds, because that's fucking bullshit.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and so, like, one life, you know, and then hand it off, and one life, and then hand it off. In multiplayer settings, I always saved it. Like, I had a little bin of shitty controllers, but I always had at least two working. So that was never an issue. It was the rules on those were just like, you know, no turbo buttons or anything like that. And then as it got over like N64 times, it really started, you know, party gaming. It was, yeah, you basically, you die, you lose, you're out, and you go to the back of the line. Winner can play forever. That's what they get for being the winner. But winner has to use the shittiest controller. And the most important rule of all, I'm player one.
Yes, that was one. Like, whoever's house it was, that they were player one. We always did that. Yeah, that was another one we had too. Manny, we didn't really play a lot of single player games. Like, it was always understood. Like, if I'm going to your house, you're playing a single player game, I'm just watching you play, and that's it. You know?
Yeah, I mean, we never did a lot of single player stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, if anything, if everybody was over, usually you would just be switching over to the fighting game. I mean, when the only time I ever did switch off was with Adam. So whenever Adam would come over to my place, or I'd go to his place, we sort of take turns on a game. Like if we're playing like a game like Metal Gear, right? One guy would be on the map, like looking through the map, being like, okay, this is over here, this is over there. And then once you've died, then the other guy takes over and you take the map, and then you do all look at over the strategy guide or whatever.
Remember, every game that we played it not just for fun. We played to finish them. Like, I remember Sherlock Holmes, damn game. And we would always just play those to finish. Like, all right, we got finished. And I remember, what was it, that Ground Zero Texas? Remember that one?
Yeah, we both went through that. You know, just like one person die, you go, the other one takes over. And yeah, we called up the friggin' Sega line a shitload of times. So we're like, where are we doing this? You know. Like that. But yeah, but we used to, whenever I'd come over or he'd go over there, like, we sort of switch off and then try to beat the game. Like, we've both finished off Resident Evil 2 and 3 that way.
Fun fact, the last time I did that with somebody, going back, was for Days Gone. My nephew was staying with me that week, right? So I would play a few hours and then give him the control, let him play a few hours. Because I'm still in the room with him. I'm still seeing what he's doing, you know? And obviously, again, after 30 hours, I already knew what to play, how the game was going to, I was going to do my reviews. I'm like, all right, let's finish this fucking game. So between us, we finished that shit in like 5 days, you know? We just kept taking turns. Like every 3 hours, we would switch it around, you know? And it worked, you know? But yeah, we used to do kind of like that. It's like, all right, I played enough of this game. Manny here, you could play now that I'm watching you, and then you just get it back. But yeah, mostly it was fighting games just because everybody could participate, you know.
And we can still do that now, just virtual through the
That is true.
Dude, that's how we played fighting games. You do versus enough, great. You play in Soul Calibur, you get a tag team of like two people. Not only do you have to learn to play every character that way, because they have to learn to play all your friends' characters, and so you know the defenses against them, but that's how you fucking unlock everything.
Especially
you get 2 22-year-olds with a bag of weed and a fifth of whiskey. Soul Calibur is getting beaten. That's just how it is.
Yeah. Also, the other thing we used to do in fighting games, we wouldn't use our main character as much. We would purposely try not to use our main character. We would try to use our secondary character the most and stuff. And every single time we would play, it would have to be a different character. We never play with the same character once, like twice. Always keep it rotating and make sure we go. And make sure we go through the whole roster. Like, never use the same guy twice. You know,
unless your friend beat you and then got smug about it. You had to pull, this isn't even my final.
That's when you got to pull out the big guy. Like when Evil Chris used to start messing me up, I'm like, all right, that's it. Akuma time, you know? Again, why do you think I got this fucking tattoo? Like, there's a reason for that. I'm like, all right, Akuma, let's go.
For those listening
by Akuma tattoo.
Yeah, what Tony just showed off his tattoo, it's actually the Akuma symbol, you know, the eternal,
I think you can see that.
It's hidden behind your microphone.
There you go. So when Evil Chris would get annoying, I'd be like, all right, Akuma time. You know, gotta bring out the big gun, you know. Anyway, Brian, house rules for gaming?
Mostly the same that you guys have said. Like, whoever's house it was, they got the player one controller. You take turns. In terms of fighting games, we never really had any rules for fighting games. We just kind of said, okay, you just play. You know, like, you can play your best character, you can play your weakest character, you can sandbag it if you want it, or whatever, you know, like, you just play. So just hearing Tony saying, oh, like, no throws, no too many combos, it's like, why not? You know, like, if you right lose, you lose. You know,
Again, remember, it's a very special case for us, because the one guy that was constantly doing that show was not making it fun for any of us, so we had to limit him on that shit, you know, because it was just not fun. And again, the other thing with him, we had to make sure it's like, all right, you don't select your characters, you got to always go to random,
so,
you know.
So I have something to say about that.
Okay,
I think it's a universal term that we all use, and I don't know if everyone says it, or maybe it's just Hispanics, or maybe what's it called, minorities. But it's like, yo, man, that's some fucking cheese shit right there.
Yeah, it was bad cheesy.
Yeah,
he was mad, like, fucking cheesy. You know,
like, when someone would do that, like we would always call them out. It's like they would always do a fucking move.
Yep.
Like, all the fucking time, that would always work.
Cheesy. That is the operative word, cheesy as fuck. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just corner you in the corner and just keep.
And this is why I hate playing guys online, because they are super fucking cheesy. They punch you into the air to keep you up there and just combo and shit, do the same fucking move over and over. I'm like, this isn't even fun, dude. How is it fun? It's not even fun for me to do the same fucking move over and over again. How is it fun for you to do that, you know? Yeah. Like, vary it up, man.
If you can literally beat down, though. Like, because that's when you're just like, you want cheese? I'll give you fucking cheese. Here's some cheese. How you like that? Huh?
Yeah, and he wants some cheese.
Yeah, that's when you're just like fucking just beating them into a corner. You're like, I could be just as cheesy. Because if I'm better than you and you have to resort to cheese, my cheese is more powerful, asshole. I will show you what the fuck is up.
You know? Yeah, when you also get angry at somebody, you let that cheese out. You let that shit out. I'm throwing you the whole fucking time, keeping you in that corner. Let's fucking go, you know?
Yeah, and they're like, sorry, we'll do that again. But like, yeah, like you, the biggest thing I remember from those gaming days is yelling out, I just want to try a move. And then the person just starts going, no.
Yeah, that's right. I want to try my move. No, no, you ain't doing it.
You're trying to do a raging demon and you hear the motherfucker going, stop grabbing you shit.
Yeah, that, yeah. By the way, when we talked about programmable controllers, that motherfucker had a programmable controller and he had that shit.
Yeah, and he would be like, hey, I paid for it. I'm allowed to use it. Like, you motherfucker. You know? No, remember at first what happened was he broke his hand on something, right? So he had to use a cast. So he bought this programmable controller, and we're like, all right, your hand's fucked up. But then afterwards, he kept on using it. It's like, it's mine. I could keep using it. You know? It's like, yeah, that's your controller, but it's my fucking console, bro. You know?
But I remember when Capcom introduced the Street Fighter 4, the training mode, and I felt like that was an answer. He said, it's like, let me just try to.
We just try to move.
Go try it to your heart's content in this training room here.
Oh, man. All right, that was fun. Let's move on to the next question. Neil, this is actually a little bit of a follow-up to something we talked about on Thursday. Because remember, we talked about like how the system we bought the most was the 360. Fucking buying four of them is shit. So this question is from Tubeke. Aside from the obvious answer, the 360... which other console have you bought the most versions of, either replacements, upgrades, or special editions?
Go ahead.
Count handhelds?
Yeah, you count handhelds, yeah.
I have 1, 2, 3, 5 3DSs, Nintendo 3DSs, but that was because I was modding them all.
Yeah.
So I got the regular one, I got the 3DS, and then I got the newer version. I forgot what it was called. I think it was just new. Yeah, the new one. The smaller one. They changed it up, but it didn't have the... And I got one for myself. And then son, the 3, and then I got Pokemon, my daughter. So yeah, that's the most when it comes to those. And I have 2 Vitas. And that's it. But yeah, for the other one, definitely like 5 of those for the 3DS.
Yeah, Manny.
I would have to say the console that I bought the most was actually the PlayStation 3. I actually had 2, my original fat one and then my, the last super thin one. It's funny when, I started having bad issues of around the time with my PlayStation 3, around the time the PlayStation 4 got announced, literally on the day of the PlayStation 4 announcement, I was they sent the bullet through like the cable, right?
Exactly.
So yeah, my PlayStation went dead. And on the day of the announcement of the PlayStation 4, I was actually at X Cubicle in New York getting my PlayStation reflowed. So, yeah, but yeah, eventually it broke down again and I ended up buying another PlayStation 3. So, yeah. And then the other thing, that's the one that I bought the most. And the other thing I bought, I guess I had more of, was the PlayStation Portable, because I did buy one initially. Then I sold it to Tony and then I bought a special edition Metal Gear one.
Yeah. I've never bought a console more than twice. So I'll just name those. I bought the PS3 twice, bought the PS4 twice. I bought 2 3DSs. I got 2 Sega Saturns. And I believe that's it. So I've never had to buy consoles more than 2 times. So yeah, that's me. Carlos, besides the 360, any other consoles?
Yeah. I bought 3 PS4s. I bought 3 Xbox Ones. So I got for the PS4, I got the PS4 regular and 2 PS4 Pros. And for the Xbox One, I got the fat Xbox One, the Xbox One S, and the X. The PlayStation Portable, I got twice. I got the PSP Fat. And I got the PSP 3000.
Oh, shit.
I think I got 2 3DSs. I got the 3DS regular and the 3DS XL.
Yeah.
Game Boy. I don't know if Game Boy Color and Game Boy regular Game Boy count.
So yeah, they're different. They're different consoles.
They're different. Okay. Game Boy Advance and Game Boy Advance SP.
Yeah.
I got that. So I got two of those. And I think that's it in terms of multiples.
All right. Yeah. Brett.
Is this strictly about multiples or what we've invested most into the system?
Multiples. I mean, yeah, besides the 360.
I bought two PlayStations. That's about all I could think of.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't had to. So the question is, how many consoles have we had to replace?
Yeah, or not replace, like, how many consoles have you, like, what console did you buy the most, either through replacement, special editions, whatever?
Well, Brett, the console that I bought the most into was the fucking Tower.
When you bought multiples of, like, how many Genesis did you own? How many Super Nintendos did you own? Or bought, you know?
I've never bought more than two systems.
Okay,
so it's pretty much a tie.
Yeah, just for me, just like that, too. Your call, how many PlayStation 5s did you buy, though, bro?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I have two.
Yeah, see? There you go. Brian.
I'm counting the odd one out. I've never bought more than one system.
Oh, shit.
Like, everything that I have is the same one that I had. PS2, still the same chunky PS2 one, not the slim or the super slim, still the same one. PS3, still the slim. The PS4, same way. PS5, same way. So,
you didn't own the fat one, did you?
The fat PS3? No, I was hearing problems that, well, yellow light of death. So I was like, nah, I'll wait. And plus, there was no games, so...
You're back.
You know, you're right. I had to buy a PlayStation 2 twice. I bought every single PlayStation at least twice. So I'm looking at my PlayStation 5 right now. I'm pretty sure you're going to get replaced too, brother. You know?
He had one. I thought of the science teacher from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory when they were talking about how many chocolate bars they had.
Yeah.
And it's like, how many did you open? One. One? You only had one.
Oh shit! There we go. There's the fat. Right, there's the fat. You see, Carlos, right? Let me make this shit.
Yeah. There. Yo, man, that thing's so.
That thing's so big, it's taking up the whole camera, man.
Well, it's not fat. It's not taller than the PlayStation.
You saw that Spider-Man font, though. You know.
Yeah, it looks cute compared to our current PlayStation.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking. My oldest niece came over. She hasn't been over in a while. She's like, holy shit, the PlayStation 5 is big. First thing she says. Oh, man. I like the fact that she's 18. I could curse around her now, you know?
It's huge. Yeah, it's big.
It's crazy. I was like, you got piercings? Who you fucking? Like, what is going on? You're supposed to be little, you know?
And then she's like, you want to know? Smell my fingers.
Like, hey. Oh, no. Like, oh, you go that way? Hey, it's 2021. You do your thing. Would that be messed up? Like, if she told me she had a girlfriend, I'd be, you know, okay with it. She told me she got a boyfriend. I was like, I think you're overprotective. You know what I'm saying? Don't touch my niece, you dirty motherfucker.
I think for me, it's a fear. Yeah, it's a fear of them getting knocked up. It's like, they can get knocked up.
I'll beat your ass, bro. You know? Oh, man. Good times.
Free Adam will come out.
Yeah, right.
The New York Adam.
The New York Adam will show up.
Hey, motherfucker. You better bring her back, right?
Oh, man. All right.
Make sure the lights are dark when you come back, when she comes back late. And so it's like, you're like the horror movie.
Adam's going to be clinking fucking bottles in his fingers and shit. Like, oh, man. All right, let's move on. Moving on.
Thinking of like, you know, they're going out on the thing and all of a sudden, like, you know, it's already too late. You were like following them around. You just pop up in their back window.
Oh, man.
Oh, well, Adam's story. But
here we go. In the middle of the show. Let's go.
We won't say her name. There was a certain girl and we went to go see The Exorcist. Remember?
Yeah.
And you were with me, right? And this was it was a late, it was like a midnight launch. It was a direct cut or whatever.
Yeah, it was.
We called her mother. We were with her. She called her mom on payphone. Her mom, this is before cell phone. The mom said she was cool with it. Say, hey, listen, stay out late, hold it, cool with it. So we head back, and this is over in Staten Island. It was a long commute. So by the time we get back, it's I don't know, 1:32 in the morning. It's and the dad was standing out there. Remember that? Yeah. The dad was there. He said, "What is it? This is, how dare you bring her home? This, you know, and two guys with my daughter. How does this?"
Yeah,
and I was like, "Yeah," and he looked. He was gonna come down and beat my ass, and I was like, "We." She talked to the mom. The mom talked, and I guess the mom went to sleep or whatever. And he woke up and realized she was gone, and he didn't talk to her the whole thing. "You get in his house." I mean, he was screaming. Yeah. We already were walking the block, and he was still screaming about this.
We could hear. We could hear them screaming.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, yeah. He's like, "Why are you bringing home this lady?" And then two guys walking into a boy. He just went off.
Man.
Yep.
All right. Adam's stories are the best. All right. Let's move on. Moving on. This one is also from Tumeke. I feel like we've answered this one before, though. So, you know, these guys, I'm pretty sure we've answered this one before. With Nintendo going their own route and not really competing with the other two in the wars. And absolutely nailing it with the 84 million plus Switch units sold so far. Very good for you, Nintendo. Beat up
84?
84 million.
Durr!
And remember, Nintendo doesn't hide their numbers. You know? That's not a guesstimate. 84 million.
Man, they're about to do 100 in less than 5 years.
Yeah, that's insane. Man. All right, so anyway, she goes, do you think... You. Yeah. That is wild. I was wildly wrong about that one, bro. I thought it was going to sell 4 million in his lifetime. I was like, this is going to be the biggest bomb ever. Boy, was I wrong, you know? All right. Do you think another console maker could enter the market at the Switch level and compete? Could a brand new entrant returning Sega, Neo Geo, 3DO, Virtua, Vita, Xbox, X-Boy, okay, would you want to see in the competition? I've said this many times. I don't think another console could compete in this system unless it's doing something wildly new. And the only reason Nintendo did this was because of Nintendo. They got that fucking legacy, you know. But Sega, that shit's done. Again, people always talk about, oh, the Dreamcast 2. The same guys who made the Dreamcast are not around anymore. Those guys are done, you know. And we've seen all these other people try to do it, all of them fail. The market, I don't think it can handle more than three systems at once, so I don't see it happening.
I have an idea.
What's up?
Okay, so basically, the main reason people don't want to buy the Switch, or wouldn't buy another thing of the Switch, is they're like, man, I have too many screens. People get screen fatigue, right? Well, what if they came out with something that was like a Sega back in the day? You know, you plug a Sega into your TV, you have a little thing with like a USB-C port that you just plug into any device, your phone, your iPad, or a TV, and you can play your fucking video game system on the go. So you can turn your iPad into a game system. Comes with a controller, too.
We did it, Tony. Tony, remember, I sent it to you and Carlos, that PC. The handheld PC.
The handheld PC.
That does all that. And, same thing. And it'll plug into your monitor if you want to do it.
Oh, the GPD?
Yeah. You could take it on the go. It's like 8 and change. But, damn, it was playing Cyberpunk. It was playing everything on.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I don't think another console could come out. And like, you need exclusives, man. You need something, you know?
You need something that doesn't... Like, if you wanted to enter the race now, you'd have to go Blue Ocean, basically. And then kind of, if you wanted to take on the big guys, kind of bleed into it by getting exclusives, by getting developer power, anything like that. But right now, the only thing that people don't have is, you know, they have the portability with the Switch. They have the big gaming experience at home. But like, yeah, that kind of portable PC like Adam's talking about. I think that's still a market that hasn't done anything. And I'm interested to see whether like this will be Nintendo's thing or somebody's answer to the Switch, Microsoft or Sony. And you could sell it with its own screen, but then you pop it off and it goes onto your iPad, you know. I'm interested to see who's going to exploit that, because I think that's honestly the next big thing. A video game system you can put in your pocket.
It's not going to be cheap, though.
Oh, they God. Well, it doesn't have to be cheap.
This one is like $800 to $1,500, the high end. Because I think for this one that they showed off, it was like the base one was an i, and it was an i7 if $1,500.
You know, I think they'd have to go in the range of 3 to 5 for the base, maybe 800 if it has a screen, sell two models.
Yeah. What about the rest of you guys? Like I said, I don't think it's possible.
Yeah, I think 3 is a sweet spot in terms of competitors. I think anything over that is kind of saturated, and I think the history has told us that it's been like that for decades now. The only thing that can disturb it is streaming services, but you know, in terms of consoles themselves, I think it's impossible for a fourth console to be that competitive unless it kind of swallows the market in a way.
Are you putting down Stadia? Why you got to keep doing that? Just let it go.
I'm trying to, but you know, they keep bringing me back in.
Yeah, I mean, even recent history, like all these other, like, you know, the fourth entrant comes, none of them fucking work, you know? So, yeah, it needs to be some radical out of the box thinking to be a success. But
we can't.
Exactly. And if I knew what that was, I'd be a fucking millionaire, you know? So
we'll call this the rule of three.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the rule of three. I think the rule of three is probably the max, you know? And even that, if you think about it historically, having three consoles successful, that's kind of a rare thing. It only really started last gen. Before, there's only ever been two that have been really dominant, you know? It's always like the two big guys and then a distant third, you know? Like, yeah. Last gen, we had kind of three, you know, doing their thing. I mean, yeah, good.
2 years ago, it was the perfect example because the Wii, PS3, and Xbox 360 era, all of them sold over 80 million.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's a recent thing. Back in the day, it was only two consoles and with a distant third, you know? So fourth, I think that's too much, you know? Unless it's a really radical idea that none of us could even conceive of, you know? All right.
Are you going to call it a free console?
Yeah, right.
The only time I think that I can remember four was when Nintendo, Sega, TurboGrafx, and 3DO.
Yeah, but then look at what happened. TurboGrafx and 3DO, woo, you know?
Yeah.
Tony, I could challenge you.
Okay.
Challenge that statement.
Okay.
Could there be a place for a VR system?
There already is.
So there is for that.
Yeah, but there's not like a VR console, you know, like VR is an accessory.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like you could have a thing devoted to VR, you know, size of yourself, a cell phone, slip in your pocket, or, you know, I see if and when VR hits mainstream, I can see there being a fourth company that represents that market.
Hmm. It's possible. That's a good point. I didn't think about that. Who knows?
Did anybody here know anyone that owned a Neo Geo?
No,
right?
I think it was only rich people.
Yeah, only rich people do all that shit.
I keep thinking about it, like during that whole time, like I just mentioned, it was around. It's just no one owned one. Well, you know, I bet just so damn expensive.
Yeah, think about it. The console was like $700, and games were $250. Yeah, so it was ridiculous. You know, so yeah.
I was like, how is Toys R Us selling this? Like, I always remember that Toys R Us, you get the sleeve for the game you want, but then there was this last case. Yo, the Neo Geo and the game. Hey, buy this. Is this just for show? No one can buy this shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's only for rich people. You know? All right. And the final question of the night from GZDR. All right. Gaming is an expensive hobby. Have you ever thought of a way you would get your money back, such as starting a game hobby shop or opening a gaming lounge? Very interesting question. I've never been like, I want my money back, you know?
I hear this question, and the first thing that comes into my mind is Adam Vale.
Adam, you already know. But I don't know. Have you guys ever thought, like, man, I've spent so much money on gaming, I need a way for it to make me money?
Not really.
Never thought of that.
Not to do a lounge type of thing, because those things never work. I mean, yeah, I've been to coffee shops that had a Wii bowling thing in the back. I remember doing that in Brooklyn. Oh, yeah, coffee, and you can play bowling. And it's like, all right, but to have a whole gaming shop like that, I mean, imagine if you had something now right before.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I never thought about that. I've never thought about
never crossed my mind
of making a money. Yeah.
Go ahead, Brett.
I don't think it's that expensive. I mean, it costs money, sure. Don't get me wrong. But almost all hobbies end up being pretty fucking expensive at the end of the day.
Wait. There, I did recently, as of last week. So one of our friends, their kid had a birthday party, and they had a gaming truck. I've never heard of this. You ever heard of this? It's a gaming truck. It shows up, and it's got like five big monitors.
Oh, yeah. The PlayStation used to do that with PlayStation 3, I believe. They just drive it around, you know?
PlayStation 4. One person drives the truck, and there's another person does all the setup, and the kids play the games and stuff. And I'm like, this is a great business. So I was talking to the dad about this. Man, what if we made this like in a carny way? We get this, but we do little tournaments. We have prizes. You know what I mean? Like, step up. playing Smash Brothers with his friends. Like, were you doing like a tournament thing? No, they weren't connected that way. We were just individually playing. I'm like, what's the fun in that? If you're going to have it in a truck and you're going to have all this together, so then that way you could do a little tournament or compete against each other. And she was like, yeah, that would have been cool. Then I told the dad, I was like, this could be something we could try to do. So yeah, that did. But getting a gaming truck and then bringing that to, is it going to do those type of set up in the backyard? That'd be fun.
Yeah. But yeah, I've never thought of that, you know. Did we lose Brett? I think we lost Brett.
I think we did.
Uh-oh. Anyway, so yeah, I guess we can't answer because none of us have ever thought of that, you know. Mm-hmm. A truck going around luring kids with video games.
Adam's going to be playing You can't put them in the truck. It opens
inside
and people just walk up to it and then they have little stools and they sit and they can play. And instead
It's outside. No, but you know what it is? You know how like you have the Ice Cream Man song? Instead of the Ice Cream Man song, it'll be the Super Mario Brothers theme. You hear that shit? Like, the gaming truck's coming. Let's go. Yeah. You know? Fucking kids running out. Mommy!
Yeah, newer game. Kids today don't know Mario.
Yeah, that's true. Fortnite! Yeah. You know? Roblox! You know? Hey, there's Brett. This motherfucker comes on camera like 2 minutes before we go off air.
We had looked it up, and it was just like one company. They have like three trucks or something like that. And they said, I was like, damn, this is an investment. I could see this working, especially now. You know, just bring it over. People go. They play their games. Do little set up for park parties or something.
I'm just laughing. You're not going to bring the kids in the truck, bro.
No. You don't kid. There's no getting in.
Oh God!
Oh, good. We're getting it.
Gaming truck. There you go, Adam. You know what to do now.
Yeah, man.
All right. I think we're done here, people. So, does anybody need to plug anything?
Usual thing. Excellence is out. You know, go pick it up if you haven't. If you're interested. Also, got some DC stuff and got some Marvel stuff coming. So, stay tuned for that. As far as Throw Down Draws, still debating onto what I'm going to be doing for the next one. So stay tuned for that. I think we were going to put up a poll, but I don't exactly know what to put about the poll yet. But yeah, there's that. And then maybe I'll come back and play some more Nier Replicant when I get some more time.
There you go, Adam.
Got another episode of I Am Negan. This is season 6. Episode 12, Fear the Walking Dead in Dreams. It got real dark. Uh-oh. They went back to their roots with this at the end. Some people, what the hell is it? What is it? And then when, I didn't see that shit coming at all. And it's got one of those moments. So, yeah. So, we got another episode. I Am Negan over on Spotify and YouTube and Coalition. So, go check that out.
Good stuff. Right, people, we are out of here, man. So make sure you follow us on Twitch and Twitter, subscribe on YouTube, and join the Discord. You can find us on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show, and you could listen to past episodes of Throwdown by going to throwdownshow.com. If you're watching us on YouTube and you enjoyed this episode, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell. Ding, 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 ding. All right, once again, our show is Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later.
Carlos Romero. Oh, he's not even. What does Carlos usually say? Viva Peru!
By the way, quick fact: the highest grossing film of 2020 was an anime movie worldwide.
Was it Demon Slayer?
Yep.
Nice.
Oh, damn.
Good shit. All right, Adam Vail.
Have a good weekend, people.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
And Brian Majoma.
It's been fun, people.
All right, we'll see you on Thursday, man. Later.
It is.